As we begin our study of the Mishnah Brura, it would be important to begin with a few words of introduction. First of all, where the Mishnah Brura came from, what he's trying to do, the Shulchan Aruch that it is that he's trying to explain. Rabbi Yosef Karo first wrote his parish on the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah. And then he decided that since the Rambam is only one of the Rishonim and the Halacha is not necessarily like him all the time, he saw the need to write another parish that would include all the different shitas. So what he did was he wrote the Beis Yosef, which was an extensive pirush on the Tur, where he was not only explaining what the Tur was saying, but he was also bringing in the different opinions of other Rishonim and telling us whom we are to follow. After he wrote the Beis Yosef, he then wrote a summary of the Beis Yosef, which he called the Shulchan Aruch, the set table. The Shulchan Aruch is an outline of the Beis Yosef. The role of the Shulchan Aruch was primarily for the purpose of chazorah, for the purpose of being able to review everything in a lot less time. The Pirush of the Beis Yosef is extensive. It could take a very long time to really go through all of it. You went through it once, how would you be able to constantly go and go over it and review it? So he wrote the Shulchan Aruch as a way, a quick way of being able to chazor. In fact, there's a print of the Shulchan Aruch that actually came out in the lifetime of the Beis Yosef, where he divides the Shulchan Aruch into the days of a month, so that every 30 days, the Jew could chazer the entire Shulchan Aruch, Arba Chelke Shulchan Aruch, and this way he would remember all of what he learned in the Beis Yosef. The Shulchan Aruch was not intended to be source material for halacha. It was not meant for the Jew to read the Shulchan Aruch and then decide that he knows halacha. Once again, it was for chazara purposes. What we're all supposed to be doing in order to know halacha is to go through the whole of the Beis Yosef. Over the years, people became less knowledgeable. People found themselves taking a longer time to understand things. And remember, every Jew has to keep all the mitzvahs when he's bar mitzvah. How do you get to know all of halacha before you get around to learn all of the Beis Yosef, if you ever will? Different mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch made the Shulchan Aruch a little bit more usable, more suited for source material for halacha, but still, never the ideal, until the Mishnah Brura came along. The Chafetz Chaim turned the Shulchan Aruch into source material for halacha. It is through the Mishnah Brura that a Jew can go and learn the Shulchan Aruch and know exactly what to do. So that is the chesed that the Chafetz Chaim did for us in the Mishnah Brura. One more note. And that is that there's an essential difference between the Rambam and the Tur. The Kesef Mishnah, which is written on the Rambam, it exists in the same order as the Rambam, obviously. It was written in the same order as the Rambam. The Rambam writes conceptually. He gives you a principle and then goes and develops it and gets into the details of it. The Tur was not written as a sefer for one to understand in a conceptual way, much more. The Tur was written for practice. The Tur was written for the sake of the Jew knowing what to do. So probably the most striking difference is the chronology, and that is the Rambam begins with Yesodei HaTorah, what it is that a Jew believes in. What is it that a Jew has to have emunah in? The Tur begins the halachas with when to get up in the morning. In other words, rather than conceptual, this is a practical sefer of halacha. What the Mishnah Brura tries to do is really combine the two, so that when you're learning the Shulchan Aruch, what you're getting is, of course, the essential order of the Torah, because that's what it's based on, so that it's a very practical sefer. At the same time, whenever possible, what the Mishnah Brura does is he will try to give us the concept, give us an understanding of what the concept is, so that we're going to be able to apply it to whatever situations we're faced with. So let us begin. The Torah begins with the mimer of Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, Heva'az Kanemer, Kal Kanesher, Rotz Katzvi, V'gibor Kari, La'asos Ritzon Avicha Shebashamayim, and then goes into the details of what that means. In the Shulchan Aruch, where he's giving us a practical outline, he found one halacha in all of that, and that is, Yisgaber Ka'ari La'mod Baborka La'vodesboro. What you should do is get up like a lion. In the morning, as he continues, Shehu Ma'orer HaShachar, that you should wake up the day. The practical halacha that the Beis Yosef saw in that whole introduction of the Tur is that a Jew has to see to it that he is strong like a lion and wakes up the day. He gets up before daybreak. The right thing to do is don't worry about the fact that it's cold. Don't worry about the fact that you're still tired. the Jew starts his day before daybreak. You have a lot to do in service to Hashem. We are going to see the Ramah tones it down a little bit and says at least don't miss the Zman Tefillah. In other words, he has you getting up later if necessary. But as far as the first halacha is concerned, the Shulchan Aruch said to get up before daybreak. Now here, the Mishnah Brura goes into some of the details of getting up in the morning. The very first thing, he is definitely reacting to the Shulchan Aruch having told you to get up before daybreak, he brings the Shlah that says that there's a special segula in allowing day and night to meet with Torah. Which means whether it is that you're getting up before daybreak and you're allowing the day to grow on you, and the way you allow day and night to meet is by way of your learning, and the same thing goes in the evening. As day turns into night, that's an ideal time for you to go and bridge day and night with Torah. That's a shlo that he brings down. In terms of other practicalities, although the halachas and the tilis yadayim are discussed extensively later, the Chafetz Chaim saw it necessary to mention the fact that when you get up in the morning, what you're supposed to do is wash Negel Vasa right away. Now once again, the halachas of Negel Vasa will be discussed later, but they really combine two separate principles, two different ideas of why one washes his hands. To begin with, when you're asleep, you don't know what you touched, what you scratched. You may have touched a place that is full of sweat, in which case you would have to wash your hands before saying a word of Torah. The second thing is that as we sleep, our bodies are completely covered with this ruach ra, the evil spirits of sleep. And when we wake up, the ruach ra of sleep is concentrated on our fingers. And therefore we have to wash our hands in a very special way in order to get rid of the ruach ra. So the Mishnah Brura goes into the practicalities of waking up in the morning, and he mentions the following. First of all, because your hands are unclean, unless you actually clean them, you cleanse them, which is either with water or something else that will make them clean, it is usur to say a pasuk to study Torah. So for example, in the case of somebody who wants to continue learning in bed, and for one reason or another he cannot go and wash negel vasar, he cannot go through the ritual three times each washing of the hands, the halacha would be that he would have to make sure his hands are clean. If he can get some water or anything else, even a cloth that will clean his hands, at that point he's capable of learning. He has not removed the ruach ra. But ruach ra and learning have nothing to do with one another. The fact that one has ruach ra in his hands does not prevent him from learning. But the Mishnah Brura brings something else. And that is that al pi zohar, one has to see to it that he gets rid of this ruach ra as soon as possible. So the Chafetz Chaim says that if you wake up in the morning, even though you don't plan on getting out of bed immediately, but you don't plan on going back to sleep, if you're really going to go back to sleep, every time you wake up in the middle of the night, you don't have to keep washing negel vasa. But if you don't plan on going back to sleep, but you want to stay in bed for a while, you're going to lie in bed before you get up, says the Mishnah Brura, you have to wash negel vasa as soon as possible in order not to keep the ruach ra on you. He also brings the Zohar of not walking for a distance of 4 amos. Without washing your hands, without washing negel vasa. And he discusses the case of somebody that doesn't have negel vasa by the bedside and will have to go elsewhere to wash his hands. So we're left with the question, what is he better off doing? Walking fewer than 4 amos, stopping, then starting again and walking fewer than 4 amos. Is that the way to go? Or are you better off running quickly? And the Chafetz Chaim is in favor of running quickly. He also mentions the opinion that says that the entire room is considered 4 amos, so that walking around the room before negel vasar is not a problem. He says only to rely on that in time of need. So bottom line, when someone gets up, the first thing is that if he does not plan on going back to sleep, then he should really wash negel vasar as soon as possible. And that is to get rid of the ruach ra. If for some reason he does not have water available and cannot wash negel vasar, that would not prevent him from saying psukim, from davening, from learning, so long as he cleans his hands first by way of a cloth or some water, if that's what he's got. The Chafetz Chaim then adds something. And he says that all of these things that I've told you with regard to washing immediately and not walking 4 amos, these are all in Yonim al pi Kabbalah. One has to see to it that he is not too zealous in his fulfillment of these inyanim of Kabbalah at the expense of real halacha. So, for example, someone wakes up in the morning and does not have Negel Vasar at his bedside, would like someone to bring it to him in order that he not have to walk 4 amos without washing Negel Vasar. In the interim, he's going to stay in bed, but he has to use the washroom. Restraining yourself when you have to use the washroom is the Yisr of Bal Teshaktsu, which the Mishnah Berurah will discuss at a later point as well, which is an Ikar Adin. It's an actual halacha. Whereas not walking 4 amos without Negel Vasar is in Yonim of Kabbalah. You do not have the right to violate a halacha for the sake of fulfilling Divrei Kabbalah. Similarly, if it's a matter of taking someone else's Negel Vasar and using that to wash in order that you not walk your 4 amos without Negel Vasar, the Chavetz Chaim comes out against that unless it is very clear that you're going to be able to refill it. Well, that's an obvious thing. Just fill it up with water again. He was speaking about the situation back in Radin. I don't know if they had running water. For all I know, they had to go to a well, and you weren't always sure that you would actually be able to refill the other person's Negel Vasar. So that you cannot go and break actual halacha for the sake of fulfilling the Zohar. So with this, we have concluded the first part, which is the Mishnah Berurah's parish of the Mechaber, of getting up first thing in the morning. The Shulchan Aruch says, Yizgaber Kari, get up before daybreak. The Chavetz Chaim goes into, number one, the shlaw of having the day and night bridged by way of Torah, and second of all, the practicalities of waking up in the morning and the issue of washing, so that you have to make sure your hands are clean, which can either be by water or something else in order to say psukim, whereas you should also get rid of the ruach ra as soon as possible, and that can only be done by washing negel vasar. We then go into the Ramah. The Ramah actually quotes something from the end of the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, and that is the principle of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. I always place Hashem before me. At all times I have Hashem before me. It is the concept of walking around with a sense of awareness of Hashem's presence. And the way the Rambam puts it, Ein yeshiva sa'odam usno'olso va'asoka v'hu levado beveso. You don't behave when you're alone the way you do when you're in front of the king. Always being aware of the fact that we stand before Hashem, and as a result of it, you think about the way you act. You don't feel just free to say and do what you feel like. Understand what are the things that the king approves of, what are the things that the king does not like. You keep that in mind all the time. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. The Mishnah Berurah mentions there was a minhag where people had a little card that had the Shem Hashem on it. It said on it, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit, with the Shem Hashem written out there. People used to keep it in their sidurim to make sure that they do not go talk Dvarim B'Talim in the middle of davening. And the Chavetz Chaim points out the fact that they would have Hashem's name written out there. This is a pasuk, and it has Hashem's name written out. Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid. You have to make sure that it does not get ruined. You have to be careful not to write the Shem Hashem, or not to write the pasuk in a way that it's going to end up either getting ruined, getting destroyed, or getting thrown out, chas v'shalom, which is a very important principle. You have to make sure that you treat psukim and the Shem Shemayim properly all the time. He also mentions the fact that it is the minhag to have in front of the Amud, where the Chazan stands, to have a Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, and he mentions that it's important that be put behind glass. This way, the flames are not going to end up burning the Shivisi Chas V'Shalom. So it has to be well protected. As to the concept of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, so the Mishnah Berurah mentions in the Bir Halacha, he mentions the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidios of the Sefer HaChinuch. I would like to just quickly list them off this time. We spent some time on the introduction, and the second day should be a little bit shorter, so we'll be able to go into it in more detail. But for today, the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidios that you're supposed to remember, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that there is Creator and Sustainer of Heaven and Earth, Hashem. Lo Yelecha, there is no other source to life. There is only one Creator and nobody else. The third mitzvah is Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which according to the Chinuch, the Sefer HaChinuch, is a mitzvah asay that pretty much tells us the same thing as the lo sasay of lo yelecha. There's only one Hashem, He has no partners, no family, it is just Hashem who is Creator. The fourth one is the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. The mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem is to want to come close to Hashem by way of studying the infinite wisdom of Hashem to the point that it brings you that desire to want to come close to Him. In the Chir, he mentions by way of his Torah as well as by way of his creations. The Chafetz Chaim puts the accent on his Torah. Study Hashem's wisdom till you get to the point that you really want to come close to Him. Yiras Hashem, an awareness that there are consequences to everything that we do. And finally, Lo Sasur Achrei Levavchem VeAchrei Einechem, which is defined as do not either entertain thoughts of apikorsis, or do not go and see Gashmius as an end. Do not see anything Gashmi. Do not see anything that gives you physical pleasure as an end, only as a means to make life on this earth more pleasant so that you can continue to serve Hashem. So that was today's day. The Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch Halacha of waking up the day. Along with that, the Chafetz Chaim brought us the Halachas of waking up in the morning. The second is the Shevisi Hashem Lenegdi Summit of the Ramah, which the Bir Halacha listed off the Sheish Mitzvahs Tmidius that go along with it.